Blog Talk Radio.
This is Talking Brick with Mayor John Ducey.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Here we are on Tuesday, May 17th. The phones are open if anybody wants to call in and ask any questions or share any thoughts on any single topic. Tonight's topic is Neighborhood Watch, but if you want to call in and ask a question about any other topic, that is fine. The call-in number is 347-426-3543. And as usual, I just want to start off with a few announcements before I begin the show. First of all, Relay for Life is this weekend at Brick Township High School. It starts at 5 o'clock on Friday, and it goes all the way straight through the night until Saturday morning. All the proceeds that are raised, they benefit the American Cancer Society, and it's a great event. Kind of the theme of the night and the reason why it goes overnight and it's done at the track at the high school is you should always have a member of a team walking the track because cancer never sleeps, and therefore cancer research should never sleep, and the team member raising money for the American Cancer Society should never sleep. So one member of the team is always walking the track. This year's event is going to be extra special because Brick Township High School alum Todd Durkin, he is starring right now on the NBC show called Strong. He is leading a fitness event, which is taking place at 8 o'clock on Friday night, and it's going to be filmed for TV. So NBC is going to be there filming it, and Todd Durkin's going to be leading the crowd in a group workout. And if anybody's familiar with the NBC show Strong, you've seen Todd on there. And he's a former Brick Township High School alum. He graduated back in 1989. And it's going to be a terrific event. And you might be able to see yourself on TV over the next few weeks. It is this Friday night, so please come out and support the Relay and the American Cancer Society. The very next day, Saturday, May 21st, is the first farmers market of the year. It's at Windward Beach, and it's from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And the market is going to be held every single Saturday, rain or shine, from May 21st all the way until October 1st. You can check out www.brickfarmersmarket.com for a list of vendors and for other information. But I look forward to seeing everybody this Saturday for the kickoff of our second year of our farmers market, and that's from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. There is going to be two brand new park openings next week. The first is Lake Riviera Park. That's going to have the ribbon cutting and be open to the public as of Tuesday, May 24th at 5:30 p.m. And we're going to have an extra special event there. We're going to have a bonfire right on the beach at Lake Riviera. We wanted to do something special. It's been over 40 years since that park was redone. And to make it an extra special event at the ribbon cutting, we figured a bonfire. What better way to get the whole neighborhood of Lake Riviera together? There's probably close to 2,500 or so homes in Lake Riviera, and to have those residents show up at this for their neighborhood park and have a great bonfire and a great event, watch the kids go on the slides for the first time, kids shoot basketball for the first time. It's going to be a great night. And then also Angela Hibbert Park on Wednesday, May 25th at 2 o'clock p.m. Everyone, again, is welcome to attend, and bring your dog to the Angela Hibbert Park. It's our first dog park in the township. So I know a lot of people are always upset they can't bring their dogs to Herbertsville Park, they can't bring them to Windward Beach, but now you have a park where you can bring your dog. It's Angela Hibbert, it's on Drum Point Road, and for the grand opening or for the ribbon cutting, which is May 25th at 2 o'clock, please bring your dogs. We want to get as many dogs there as possible running around for the first time. Again, there's the playground for the kids. It's going to be great to watch them go down the slides and swing on the swings for the first time. And there's also tennis courts and pickleball courts. So I know a bunch of the seniors really enjoy pickleball, and I'm looking forward to watching the first serve of pickleball over at Angela Hibbert Park on Drum Point Road, Wednesday, May 25th at 2 o'clock. Monday, May 30th, the annual Memorial Day Parade is being held, and it starts at 10 o'clock a.m. at the former Foodtown site. It goes right from the former Foodtown site down Route 70. The parade makes a right-hand turn onto Chambers Bridge and goes all the way down and concludes at the town hall. And back at the town hall, there is a great ceremony that follows the parade, and it's right here at the municipal complex. So please come out and help us honor our nation's heroes. All of our beaches will be open starting Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully the weather will start getting warmer and drier. It seems like it's freezing cold and raining every single day. But come Memorial Day, the hopes are the sun comes out every single weekend straight through Labor Day, if not longer. And so all the beaches are open. I know there's a lot of rumors out there, people saying that the beaches are not going to be open. Beaches are open, $25 beach badges until June 15th, $30 parking. You compare that to other towns, there's other towns right around us, $75 beach badges and $300 for parking. So Brick is definitely a bargain when it comes to that, $25 beach badges until June 15th and $30 for the season parking. So get out to our beaches, get the badges. Finally, Summerfest is just over a month away. The first show is Thursday, June 30th, and it will be Saved by the 90s. There's going to be fireworks after the show, so please mark your calendars. And then there was one Facebook question that was left, but again, if anybody wants to call in, it's a much better show when people call in. There's a little interaction. I know last time we did this, we had three or four calls, and it made it a lot more enjoyable. For those listeners who listen at a later time and for those listening live. The phone number, again, is 347-426-3543. But there was one question on Facebook from Ian. Ian wanted to know when Cedar Bridge Manor Park will be redone. As far as redoing Cedar Bridge Manor Park, it's going to when it is redone, it's going to be a passive park. There's going to be places, it's an open space. It's places where people can view, take a great look at the waterway. They'll be able to sit on some benches, have a picnic, that type of thing. But what we're waiting to do, we just redid last year a similar type of park. It's called Bay Harbor Beach Park. And we did this new type of rock jetty system to stop the erosion of the park into the water. And it's a brand new design. And we wanted to wait for a couple of high tide cycles throughout the winter, a couple storm seasons. And before we went with doing it at a different park, because it is brand new, we wanted to make sure it works before we spend that much money on a different park. So once we go through a couple of the hurricane cycles, we are going to do the same type of thing over at Cedar Bridge Manor Park. And again, it's going to be passive. We're going to make sure it stops eroding into the water and make it beautiful open space right there in the neighborhood for people to enjoy picnics, for enjoy sitting, reading a book, taking a look out at the water. Just have a nice open space in that area. So hopefully, the next couple of years, once we see the success at Bay Harbor Beach, we'll move on over to Cedar Bridge Manor. I do have a call. So before we get to Councilman Jim Fosman, I was going to take a call. It's Joe is on the phone. Hello, Joe, are you there?
I am. How are you?
Okay.
My question is, I dropped off a packet to you last week about the absentee landlord problem we seem to have throughout the community, which I really think is what's causing the bulk of the problems, is that a lot of these condos are being rented by people who they don't live in the state, or maybe they live far away, even in state, but really they don't, they're not even interacting with their tenants. They just put a tenant in there, and when the heat breaks, they call a repairman, and they have very little problems to handle beyond, the government's mailing them the check. And I'm really thinking if we could address these properties, if we can make them owner-occupied rather than just, rented like that, I think a lot of the crime problems would go down in our town. I think the school testing would come on up, and I think it would be a win for everybody.
Yep, that's we've actually been talking to a couple of the associations. We want to get these associations to pass owner restrictions. Some of the senior villages already have them, which is great. Not all the senior villages, and most if not all of our condo complexes, unfortunately, does not have that. Because where this is really seems to be a problem is in the multifamily housing. So that's where we want it to change. We need the association to change their bylaws to require when somebody buys a new unit, they have to live there for 2 years, for 5 years, for 3 years, whatever the amount may be. It really stops these investors from coming in and then just purchasing the property, because it's a big time problem. Just last year, we passed. When I say we, it's really the council that passes it. But it was a recommendation from the mayor and from the council, but the council passes it. It's called the Responsible Landlord Ordinance. And the responsible landlord ordinance has been effective. We've actually already had evictions as a result of this. And if the responsible landlord ordinance is the most that what the state will allow us to do. We were trying to push the envelope, and the state said, well, here's what you're allowed to do, because they have ultimate control over it. They said, basically, we can hold a landlord responsible if a tenant is convicted of two crimes and on the property. So then what we do is if a tenant's convicted of two crimes, they have to come into a hearing here in Town Hall, where a hearing officer gets to decide how much of a bond that the landlord now has to pay to the town, so that they they're responsible for any cost of police and everything else. And what we did with the first one that we ever had, he actually did the maximum. The hearing officer found $5,000 bond, what ended up happening in that case, it gives the landlord a mechanism to get these bad tenants out. Because a lot of the landlords are asking for help on how to get these bad tenants out. This particular one, that's exactly what they did. They were brought here before the hearing officer, had to pay a $5,000 bond. Then they filed for eviction because they want this guy out of the house, and was successful. The judge looked at it down in Toms River in Ocean County Court and said, yeah, this is costing the landlord money. Therefore, tenant, you are removed from the house. So we're doing, we're doing what we're allowed to do under the law. Which is try to clean up this, we call it a responsible landlord because we want our landlords to be responsible and not irresponsible. These people who are being investors, they're coming in, they don't care about our town, they don't care about their neighbors, they're letting the grass grow. We also hired a part-time code enforcement official, which is actually a retired police officer, to go into these particular places, making sure everybody has a CO. And if they don't have a CO, obviously there's violations going to the landlords. For the ones that do have a CO, they're taking care of, they have to take care of these properties, otherwise they're getting these summonses. And whether they're going to the tenants or they're going to the landlords, they're going to both. And that's because we can find these people if they go with the two convictions. It doesn't even matter if it's for long grass. Even if it's for long grass, they're two convictions. That's when they have to come in and post this bond, and that's just some of the stuff we're doing on this issue. So it's good. It's all good stuff. I know we do have another caller. Didn't say me. Joe was on the line actually. It's another Joe. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, I think this is Joe
here.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
How you doing, Joe? Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'd like to know, Sandy occurred in October 2012. What have you done or driven to speed up the permit process and the inspection process? I had to wait 12 weeks for permits, and I've been waiting for weeks for inspections. I just called last week for an electrical inspection. I'm being told June 7th. And then on top of that, the electric company needs another 2 weeks before they connect. This is ridiculous.
Yep, okay. What have we done? We actually speeded up the permit process. But let me get to the first thing. A lot of times contractors are blaming the town for delays. So I don't want you to give it over the air, but if you can be able to speak to the person who answered the phone, they're going to be able to speak back to you and leave your address so we can look into it. Because what's happening is the contractors are not putting homeowners' names on the permit jackets, so that when there's a problem, when there's things that are missing, there's an email that goes out. It would go out to the homeowner as well as the contractor if the contractor puts the homeowner's contact information. When they don't, it only goes to the contractor, and then we find that the homeowners are asking the contractors, hey, what's going on? Oh, the town's taking forever, In the meantime, the contractor's at, a guy down the street because he's trying to finish that job as well because a lot of them are overworked. So I'd like to get the timeline to see what the heck happened with your particular problem. But also we changed the system in that everybody does get noticed, so this way it's cutting down on the calls. We were having a lot of calls that were coming in. Hey, what's going on with my permit? When's my inspection? That was causing whoever answered the phone is going to have to go find the jacket, learn the file, look at the file. Each call is taking, about 10 minutes or so because they have to learn the file and figure it out to answer. So we changed that system. Now we have a point person for every permit that comes in. It's based upon the last number of the permit. So what happens is when you get a when a call comes in, what's your permit number? They give you the you give the number. You know exactly who's going to. So that person is familiar with everything that's going on in that file because it's their file. It's no longer a mishmash. So we made that change to make things more streamlined, more effective. And we also now send out the emails or make the calls directly to whoever's on the jacket. So instead of people having to call the building department, hey, what's going on? When's my inspection? Or what's going on? How come it's taking so long? Where you know what part is in the process? They're now it's proactive. The email goes out to you and says, "Okay, you're finished with the you're out of zoning and you're over into engineering. You're out of engineering now. You're into building," and it lets you know that so that you're not taking the time. You're not getting frustrated because you're getting these proactive emails, which is a great thing. One thing that did happen with the inspectors, the state provided us inspectors for a period of time. To do Sandy related, but then they cut them back, and they cut them back to only a few hours and without any notice to us. So we started advertising probably, I want to say October, November, to get additional building inspectors, and we got absolutely no resumes just by posting it on the League of Municipalities website, our own website. We then started posting it in trade magazines. Just because we were getting no takers, and it was like, wait a minute, what's going on? Like a lot of people, you know, usually want these municipal jobs, but these inspectors, they're just no takers for this thing. We finally ended up getting a package of resumes after advertising for months on end, and the ones we got in, so it was some people looking for part time. So what we did is we had a shared service with Lavalette that was in place, and we actually are pulling that building inspector away from Lavalette. Lavalette, you're on your own, unfortunately, but we're so busy here in Brick, we need to have this guy here full time, and then we're going to go ahead and hire some of these part-timers and hopefully speak to the part-timers, and hopefully they're going to want to have some full-time work. Because what happened is the state pulled the contractors without notice at all. They originally had said, well, as of May 1st, the towns are going to have to start paying for the state contractors that were free since Sandy. Which would have been fine. We had that in the budget for this year, and we're ready to go forward. And then right before May 1st, it was actually after May 1st, the state said, yeah, we're not doing that anymore. We laid off everybody. So they laid off all the state inspectors. So as of May 1st, we're really in a bind because we couldn't get anybody as a taker to apply for these jobs, and now the state guys are no longer here. So the agreement we have with Lavalette, they have 3 months more of our inspector over there before we formally get them 100%, because that was part of the contract, is that they get a 3-month termination, and they're hurting too. They can't find their own inspector, so they're not going to voluntarily let them come back to Brick right away. They're going to take advantage of that 3 months. So those are some of the problems, and those are some of the solutions that we're working on. So it should once we get these guys hired, it'll start getting things moving again and get back up to speed. So I want you to hold on, though, so you can speak to give an address and an email address and your physical address so that we can get that timeline back to you. So as far as you can see where the delays were and what they were caused by. And I'll take a look at it, too. If it is on our end, that's what we do. We take a look at that, too, and try to make changes based upon where we see different delays. But thank you very much for the call. So I do have Councilman Jim Fosman here tonight to speak about Neighborhood Watch. How you doing, Councilman?
I'm doing good, Mayor.
Okay. You want to come in and speak about Neighborhood Watch. So why don't you give everybody a background of who you are and why you decided to do a Neighborhood Watch and what's going on with it. Just go ahead, and the floor is yours.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. The Neighborhood Watch was started last October when it started when we had Herbertsville Park redone. I went around to different areas there, and I thought it'd be a good thing to have the community involved into, looking after our investment and working out, watching each other. So we had 3 meetings so far. We had 2 at Herbertsville Firehouse, which was great. We had a great response there. We had about 50 people each time, and we just had one at Evergreen Woods, another meeting there. And anybody that would like to have a meeting, if they have a senior community, would like somebody to come out and speak to them and let them know what the program's about and see if they want to get involved, they can do that. And they can do that by calling 732-262-1053. and the gentleman there will take down the information and he'll get it out.
Okay.
That's
now,
basically it.
What exactly does a neighborhood watch do?
The neighborhood watch, it actually, you're watching out for your neighborhood. You're being alert. We want you to know your neighbors and to watch out for each other out there. Report suspicious activities and crimes to the police department by calling a number, which is 732-262-1100. And there's things that we ask you not to do. You know, do not approach anybody, follow or make contact with any suspicious persons or vehicles. If you see something going on outside and you're not sure if they're in your neighborhood or a car's parked or a car's going slowly down a road and back up the road, and you know that Mrs. Jones is out on vacation and the car pulls up and you don't know that, you can call the police on that just to let them check it out and see what it's about. You know, never try to take action on your own. Observe and see what's going on. We do have what kind of activities should I be looking out for as a neighborhood watch member? One of the things is someone screaming or shouting for help. You can call that number. Someone looking in windows of the houses or parked cars, that's another. Property being taken out of houses where no one in a home or, you know, a business is closed. You got cars, vans, trucks moving slowly with no apparent destination without headlights on. You got, you know, a stranger sitting in a car or stopping to talk to children. You know, talk about concerns and problems with your neighbors. You know, report the incidences to the Brick Police Department. And again, that number is 732-262-1100. And that's some of the things that we are trying to get the community involved in, to watch out for one another, even at shopping centers. If you're coming out of a shopping center and your car is parked far away, seniors too, you know, you got to look over your shoulder, see if anybody's following. You got to look out there. You got to be aware of your situation, you know, and to be alert out there and to be safe.
And that's just some other things people can look for, is if they have a lot of cars keep on going to the same address, and they're, you know, people are getting out of the cars and go inside, but they're only inside for 5 minutes, 7 minutes, and then they're coming back out. Or they're just sitting outside an apartment or sitting outside a house, and somebody comes from inside the house, outside the house for a minute, and then runs back in. Under those circumstances, you should probably be calling that same number, correct?
Exactly. That's 626-1100. You know, and if you don't feel comfortable giving your 262-1100, if you don't feel comfortable giving your name, you don't have to give your name. You don't have to at all if you don't feel comfortable giving it. But just give information. Like, you, the information you want to give is like, if you can describe a vehicle, the make, the model, you know, year, license plate, a special features such as stickers are on a car, anything to notify the police what kind of car it was. We don't want you going out there stopping the car. We don't want you doing anything like that. We just want you to be observant and see what it is and give a good description of the person too. If you see somebody out there, their sex, their race, age, height, weight, hair color, clothes, distinctive characteristics such as a beard, mustache, scars, or maybe a tattoo, or anything that could help the police. So if the car does come back again, they'll notify. Everybody, and this way you can call again if that car comes back, and you can call as many times as you have to call. The police are there to work. Chief Riccio is full support of this with the other officers, and we keep the town safe. We're trying to bring this community back and watching out for one another.
That's great. Now, if I'm sitting here and I'm listening to this, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? My neighborhood, we haven't done anything. I wanna maybe get one of these started. What exactly do I do, and then what happens from there?
Okay, you can call this number here to participate. It's 732-262-1053. Give the information to the person that answers the phone, and we can come out and do a presentation in your or if your neighborhood's interested in it, we can go to a firehouse in your neighborhood, or we can go to a location. We can do a presentation. Everybody from the neighborhood can come down. We can have you sign up. Give us your email. We can head this way. We have something to contact you. We'll do a presentation and answer any questions that everybody has about anything that's going on in your neighborhood and that you would like to see anything we could do about.
Okay, sounds good. Anything else you want to add about the Neighborhood Watch?
I'd just like to say, if you want, we have on the Nexel, you can type in there. You can text, Brick Township, and it goes to 2888-777 and reply yes to receive messages. Or you can put stop to opt out. But this way you get reports from what's going on in the township. Or you can sign
okay,
up
you type,
on Facebook.
You type in your zip code, correct?
Yes.
For Nexel?
And then put in your zip code. Sorry. Also, you can. We have a nice door hanger when we go to the neighborhoods, and it gives out different information: the police number, fire, and emergency. And also, on Facebook, you can go facebook.com/Bricktown, Brick Township, New Jersey Government. We're also on Instagram, Brick Township of Brick, or www.bricktownship.net.
Okay. And what have you been doing with other council people to like try to promote this Neighborhood Watch thing?
The Public Safety Committee, the chair of that committee is Mariana Pontronero, and Andrea Zapsik is on it, and myself. And we go to different areas, and our last area was Evergreen Woods, and we had our officers there. Officer John Alexander, the chief of police was there, Jim Riccio, you were there, and the mayor, myself, and we answered all the questions that everybody was concerned about, how to start a neighborhood watch, what they should do, and answered any other questions that they had asked to be about their neighborhood.
Okay.
Okay.
And... again, what's the number to set one up? This way, everybody has it here at the end.
Yeah, if you'd like information, or you would like us to come out to your area or your neighborhood, and you're interested, the number is 732-262-1053. Now, if you need to report any suspicious people or activities to the police department, you would dial 732-262-1100. Everybody should have that number in their cell phone. So anything's going on anywhere in town, you can just dial that number and give the information. Just be careful out there and just observe. You don't want to approach anybody. You would want to just observe. And, you want to just provide details, about the suspicious activities, individuals, or vehicles involved in anything. And you don't have to give your name. You don't have to do that. You don't have to. If you're nervous about doing that, you don't have to. You can just report it and just be observant. And if you remember something else about the incident or like the mayor said, people go into a certain house all hours of the night and everything, you can report that and just observe. You don't have to, don't go outside or anything. You don't have to do that. Just observe and be alert and watch what's going on. And a lot of times when things are reported, activity's already going on if someone is selling drugs out of their house. Some people might have called in already, or the police might be in active looking at that place. So you might not get an answer from the police, but they will take down your information. And you can call as many times as you want. They're here for everybody in town.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you. Thank you for all the great information. And, again, that's Councilman Jim Fosman who joined me here on Tuesday, May 17th for the show here today. Thank you. I want to thank you for coming in to speak about this stuff.
Thank you for having me, Mayor.
No problem. Okay. Again, that NICSL number for you to text is 888-777, and you could text your zip code to that, or you can also text BRICK, TWP, all one word, to 888-777. Now, I had a previous caller, Joe. He has called back. He was that's the one we were talking about, the inspectors, and I had to go. I was talking about how the state unexpectedly pulled the inspectors from us, which really left us in a bind, and it would have been nice to know before they actually did it, if they would have given us a little bit of lead time. Although, like I said, there wasn't much we could do about it because we were already advertising trying to hire inspectors and getting absolutely no resumes at all on it. So, Joe, you're back? You had a follow-up question? Okay. What was the follow-up question?
Yeah. What's the solution? I mean, this started back in October of 2012. Where's the planning? What's the solution? I don't want to hear excuses anymore. I'm tired of it. I've been waiting 12 weeks for permits. I just called to get an electrical inspection 2 days ago, and I'm told I can't get the inspection until June 7th, and an electric company says, well, then you got to add another 2 weeks on that before we connect. This is ridiculous.
Yep, that's unfortunately, Sandy happened, and everybody's going to be backed up. I think I told you the plan already. The plan was to hire inspectors. Unfortunately, hopefully, maybe you have some friends out there that could put in some resumes. That'd be great. That's kind of what I've been going around town, just trying to find different builders, contractors, somebody who's interested in being an inspector for the town, because that's what we need. We need manpower. Unfortunately,
yeah,
the sheer volume.
How about paying the contractors to take the classes so they get improved, or even paying the current inspectors overtime, let them work extra hours? What's the problem with that?
I don't know if that's legal. I mean, that's maybe a good idea. I didn't actually follow you, but I don't know if contractors could do their own inspections. I never heard of such a thing. So I'm assuming that's not legal, but I can write that down and let the attorney know. And what was it again? You want contractors to – you want the town to pay for contractors so they can do their own inspections? Is that what
no.
it is?
No. Get contractors and pay for their education so that they'll take it at the going rate. Then you got inspectors, okay? They got to pass the test, no question about it. And the other thing is,
yeah, we don't have any takers. There's nobody contacting us about that. If that was an option, we'd entertain it for sure. We were lucky enough, actually, because of this, like I said, the state laid off these people. We actually made offers today to one full-time building inspector and one part-time building inspector. So those two gentlemen or ladies, I'm not sure. I think they were both men. So those two gentlemen will be joining our team very shortly. They just have to go through the
physical
and that type of thing.
Ed, how about posting the lead times for inspections on your website or sending out emails to the contractors? They have no idea how long it's going to take to get an inspection.
Okay. Yep. It's a fluid thing. That's the reason why, because there's so many contractors that are overworked as well. We constantly move up inspections. So to put a lead time out there wouldn't be the best thing in the world, because it's probably not going to be true. I could tell you on a weekly basis, there's a high percentage of inspections that get moved up. Like, for example, your electrical inspection that's out there for June 7th, there's a high likelihood that that's going to be moved up due to cancellations because the contractors aren't ready. So what the contractors do, they call up. Some of them wait until only the day before, but some of them do it a little bit earlier. They're a little bit more proactive. They do it a week before and say, I'm not going to be ready for next Tuesday at this house. Bump me back on that one. And then that gives an opening. We don't like a lot of towns. I know what they do. They just that means it's more time for the inspector maybe to do some plan review. We fill that slot. We fill that slot right away. So we move people up. It's a constant fluid, fluid situation. And so as far as posting them, it just wouldn't work out well, because when you see the end date or the scheduling date, that's not actually going to be the reality in the long run. So it would just be misinformation for the contractors, causing them not to be ready. Your inspection gets moved up, but now your electrical is not ready because he's thinking it's June 7th, where actually, okay, we're coming out there on June 1st. And it just kind of wouldn't make sense. It would actually delay things more.
But a wrong lead time is better than no lead time.
But as far as the emails, we do the emails. Every contractor gets the email. So hopefully, as a homeowner, you should be getting on that email list too, so you know the emails. You know exactly where you are in the process. And again,
yes,
the timeline is going
to
reveal a lot.
Yes, I gave my email to whomever it was, some woman's name. I don't remember it. I have yet to hear anything from it.
And you're on the jacket?
Yes.
Okay. All right. You left your address already, so we're gonna. It sounds like you're one of this. You know, some people fall into a little bit of a problem, and we'll figure out what it is and where that problem is. But that's not normal. Usually, you know, we even let you know when we get your permit application. So the fact that you didn't get any emails, you know, we send out an email saying this is our contact person. I'm here. So the fact that you didn't get that makes absolutely no sense, and we'll get to the bottom of it and see who's responsible for that. That's just a mistake.
Yeah, and you know, we're still paying taxes on our property, and it's a lot of taxes, and we don't feel we're getting any help from the town. It's driving us crazy.
I'm not sure why you're feeling that way, and that's why I'm looking forward to seeing this timeline to see exactly what's going on. And we'll get to the bottom of it. We'll get to the bottom of it together. I get calls here and emails here to the mayor's office. I would say like 4 or 5 times a week where there's a problem. We take a look at the timeline, and I would say out of those 4 or 5 times a week, 4.8 out of those 5 are contractor delays. And once you see the timeline, you actually see that. It's not all the time. I'm not saying it's all the time. But about 5% of the time, it's down the stairs. The rest of the time, it's with the contractors. They're not ready for inspections. They're not calling it. They're telling people they're submitting paperwork, and the permit's not even here. People are calling saying, how come I don't have my permit yet? Well, it hasn't even been submitted. And that happens,
a lot. I'm working hand-in-hand with my contractor, so I know what's going on.
That's perfect. That's what we're trying to get people educated as well, making sure their contact number is on the jacket, making sure they're the ones getting those emails, because the emails come. The first one's actually automated, so the fact that you didn't get it, I don't understand that. But we'll get to the bottom of it, and that's why we ask people to leave their address. I also wanted to let you know, as far as the training, we have our technical assistants. They're the ones who, if you do call, hopefully you don't have to call because we have the email process in play. But if you do call, you're going to get a technical assistant on the phone, and they constantly receive training. So they're doing, to do more. This way, they can do more and more. They can eventually get to the inspection stage, that type of thing. And that's all paid for by the township. So we have that process in place. We have those 9 people who are those permit clerks. It's actually 11. There's 11 permit clerks down there. Some of them are the technical assistants, and they're the ones who receive more training, and we're trying to get more and more technical assistants so that everybody's more qualified and can be more helpful. And that's just part of our ongoing process of just trying to make the whole experience better. You know, we take these calls seriously, and that's why we keep on improving the system. So thank you for calling and letting me know about the problem. I'll take a look at your timeline. Again, anybody who's out there who's listening, please, if you're having problems with permits or inspections, please let us know by way of email or call. We can figure out. We can get this timeline and see where the delay is. That helps us. It helps us with staffing, although, we're having problems getting resumes. We did make the 2 offers today, one for a full-time and one for a part-time building inspector, which is going to help out. And we're looking for more. So if anybody out there knows about that, wants to apply, please do so. And please, if you have any problems with permits or inspections, let us know, because we can get to this timeline and just see where the stalls are. And from there, we decipher and figure out what needs to be done or what we could do better. We use all that information just to make it. We're in the customer service business. The taxpayers are our customers, and we need to make that experience better for our taxpayers. And that's what we're doing, trying to make it customer service, customer friendly. So thank you for letting us know about that situation, and then we'll look into that personally for you tomorrow. That's it for tonight. That was great. We had two callers and one call back twice, so we had 3 calls altogether, plus Councilman Fosman as our special guest. So maybe we'll keep it up on Tuesday nights. It seems to be an active night where people may be listening more. So please tune in again. Thank you for tuning in this time, and I will talk to you again, and I will also see you around town. Have a good night.